This KBOO program is made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Pete's Coffee and Tea, now offering Ethiopian Supernatural, a certified organic coffee processed by age-old natural methods. For a limited time at Pete's retail stores or on the web at PEETS.com.
Good morning, Cascadia. This is the KBOO Morning News for Wednesday, October 4th, 2006. I'm Martha Odom.
And I'm Brian Smith.
Coming up on this morning's newscast, a Salem-based group has filed a federal lawsuit claiming that voters have been constrained by a 2005 law that makes it tougher for independent candidates to qualify for a ballot. And scientists say that the proposed wall on the U.S.-Mexican border will bring nothing but disaster for the biological diversity of the region. And Paraguay has refused diplomatic immunity for U.S. troops and has chosen not to renew a military cooperation pact with the U.S. Portland area weather calls for partly cloudy with temperatures in the upper 60s.
A Salem-based group has filed a federal lawsuit against the state of Oregon, claiming that voters have been constrained by a 2005 law that makes it tougher for independent candidates to qualify for the ballot. The lawsuit was filed by the Committee for Petition Rights, headed by Greg Wasson. It has been assigned to U.S. District Judge Thomas Coffin in Eugene, and no hearing time has been set. The law prohibits anyone who votes in a partisan primary election from helping to nominate an independent candidate. Before the law was enacted, any registered voter could sign a nominating petition for an independent candidate or attend a nominating convention. Concerns about Oregon's nominating process surfaced in 2004 when Ralph Nader tried to get on the state ballot as an independent candidate for president. And at the time, Republican and conservative groups hoped for a Nader candidacy, believing he would siphon votes away from the Democratic candidate John Kerry. And they encouraged their members to attend the Nader nominating convention and sign nominating petitions. Eventually, a challenge to Nader's nominating petitions kept him off Oregon's ballot, but lawmakers saw a need to fix what they considered to be a free-for-all nominating procedure.
Big insurers are pouring money into Oregon to defeat Measure 42, Bill Sizemore's proposal to ban the use of customers' credit ratings when setting their insurance prices. Insurers put up $3.7 million to fight the measure. That makes Measure 42 the most expensive campaign among the 10 initiatives on Oregon's November ballot. Sizemore has been barred by court order from disbursing money in initiative campaigns. He didn't file a report listing spending to promote his measure. This report generally tracks spending since the measures qualified for the ballot in July.
The federal government has spent almost $11 million to salvage timber from the Biscuit Fire, but will get less than $9 million from the sale of the wood. The Bush administration and its Republican allies in Congress blame lawsuits filed by environmentalists for the added cost. The report by the Government Accountability Office acknowledged that the delays cost money, but said the administration's decision to dramatically increase logging, coupled with the size of the fire and the complexity of the environmental laws, were actually to blame for the delays. Overall, 12 salvage sales in the burned areas were completed by the end of 2005, resulting in harvests of about 67 million board feet of timber. The total was less than one-fifth of the 367 million board feet proposed for the sale in an environmental impact statement issued by the Bush administration in 2004. The report said that the forest staff overestimated the timber available for the harvest, and also the administration's estimate that salvage logging would create about 6,900 local jobs and $240 million in regional economic activity now appear overly optimistic.
A new study finds that Canada's open ocean salmon farms are killing large numbers of wild salmon, threatening the species' ability to survive. The study found that sea lice from salmon farms along the British Columbia coast kill up to 95% of the wild juvenile salmon as they head out to sea. a biologist with the Rain Coast Research Society and co-author of the study, says that at this rate we are not going to have any wild salmon left. The study says there is little doubt that the source of the sea lice infestation is British Columbia's aquaculture industry, where tens of millions of Atlantic salmon are raised in open ocean net pens along the coast. British Columbia is the world's fourth largest farmed salmon producer, netting more than $300 million in annual sales, mainly to the United States. The final results show that lice from farms resulted in a 9 to 95% mortality in several wild juvenile pink and chum salmon populations. A lice outbreak in 2001 from farms near the northern Vancouver Island wiped out 99% of the native pink salmon runs. Although this was the most detailed study ever done to the issue, experts knew or suspected that sea lice from farms were directly involved in the decline of wild fish in Scotland, Ireland, and Norway, major centers of farmed salmon.
A federal judge in Seattle has upheld the Bush administration's interpretation of dam relicensing rules, despite arguments that it could lead to fewer protections for the environment. U.S. District Judge Marsha Petchman has ruled that the administration was allowed to establish procedures for letting dam operators challenge environmental requirements. The Federal Energy Regulatory Commission issues licenses to operate dams, and often those licenses incorporate conditions set by other federal agencies to protect wildlife. The Energy Policy Act of 2005 lets dam operators challenge such conditions. It also allows them to suggest alternatives and requires the judge to approve those measures if they are adequate.
Oregon workers are gathering in Portland today to protest what they are calling one of the most serious attacks on worker rights in decades. In a 3-2 vote along party lines, the Republican majority on the National Labor Relations Board voted to expand the definition of supervisor, effectively stripping millions of workers from overtime pay protection and the right to join a union. Tens of thousands of workers in Oregon could be affected. In a dissenting vote, two Democrats on the board argued that the expanded definition creates a new class of workers without managers, benefits, or workers' rights. Nurse Kim Hubbard said, "It's a serious blow for nursing staff who rely on strong labor unions when they feel the need to stand up for better patient care."
This is the labor board's position to try to take the most skilled and the most experienced workers out of unions, to weaken the strength of unions. It can have very serious consequences in health care.
An attorney for the U.S. Chamber of Commerce said the new and expanded definition is reasonable, clear, and won't impact as many people as expected. Estimates range somewhere around 8 million people, according to the Economic Policy Institute. Workers are holding a news conference at 10 a.m. today at the Kaiser Interstate Medical Office South, 3500 North Interstate in Portland. And now, Pledge Central with Lisa.
It looks like Lisa's not quite here yet, Martha. And we're also, there's Ani showing up there, and she's with us now. We want to just have a quick break here and talk to you about the importance of your call right now on this first day of the pledge of the membership drive. Your call of support for the AM News, a very short program, a very short time to call in to support it. Right now is the time to make that call. Ani?
That's right. And the number you can dial is 503-232-8818. Again, 503-232-8818. We do need your call of support this morning. The membership drive is off to a fabulous start. Pam Peck went over her goal this morning, and it was such great music that we were listening to. It was easy to see why people were calling. 503-232-8818 in supporting KBOO. Now we need to keep that support coming on in. We have reached over $400 this morning so far. The membership drive's been going for an hour and 9 minutes. That's really really great. I'm very encouraged. I know you're listening, and now you need to go to your phone and dial 503-232-8818. Become a member, just $60 a year. It's easy to do, $5 a month or $10 a month. For many of our listeners, if you are able to afford that, do give us a call right now and say yes to your community, yes to supporting the morning news. I want to also let you know, if you are listening outside of the Portland metro area, you can dial us toll-free, 1-877-500-5266. Again, that's 1-877-500-5266. We had calls this morning from Amboy, Washington. We had calls this morning from Stevenson. We had calls all around this morning, and that's really exciting to hear folks who say, yes, this is your community radio station. Wherever you might live, this is the station you tune to for that kind of connection, and now you are listening for this information. Please do call and support that effort. Again, 503-232-8818.
What you notice immediately about the prison at Guantanamo Bay, Stephen Wax says, are the contradictions. The most famous prison in the world, housing what the Bush administration calls the worst of terrorists aiming to kill Americans, is built on a sunny tropical island that the U.S. government has, at least until now, grudgingly allowed people like Wax and others in his office to represent some of the 450 or so detainees at Guantanamo. But there is little that the attorneys can do to really defend their clients, most of whom have not been formally charged with anything and have no access to an outside court to assert their innocence. Human rights advocates, and some even within the U.S. government, who say the United States need to offer some way outside of the military hearings for the 450 inmates at Guantanamo to be able to assert their innocence of any wrongdoing or terrorist activity. So far, 10 Guantanamo inmates have been formally charged with crimes. While the debate has continued, Wax and a dozen or so other lawyers and investigators in the District of Oregon's Federal Public Defender Office, quietly and out of the spotlight, have taken on during the last 11 months of an unusually large number of Guantanamo inmates as clients. This from the Portland Tribune.
Scientists say that the 700-mile fence planned to be built along the border with Mexico will bring nothing but disaster for the biological diversity of the region. In a statement from the Center for Biological Diversity in Tucson, Arizona, scientists say that the only living thing the walls won't stop are people. The researchers and other independent experts fear that the proposed fence will restrict the movement of wildlife and disturb the unique and fragile ecology of the region. The 2,000-mile-long U.S.-Mexican border region is considered an extraordinary source of biological diversity. It is home to many endangered species of plants, birds, and animals, such as owls, parrots, jaguars, wolves, bears, and lions, that often need to move around as an essential element of their survival. With the construction of the wall, the plants and animals will be restricted in their movement, which will crush their ability to survive. The Senate approved the wall legislation, and now it awaits only a signature from George Bush. The proposed legislation allows the Department of Homeland Security to take charge of the border in 18 months and gives additional powers to the border security force agents. This from OneWorld.net.
An unprecedented level of migration to cities is changing the face of the world, according to the United Nations. More than half of the global population now live in urban areas, and that figure may rise to two-thirds, or about 6 billion people, by 2050. And the number of slum dwellers is set to exceed 1 billion by next year. The UN accepted there was a brain drain on poorer countries, but noted that money sent home by migrants could exceed development aid or investment. The UN also found that flows of migrants to cities could be a good thing, generating wealth and opportunity, but equally they could create tensions related to migrant integration and be exploited by criminals. People smuggling, it said, could be a deadly business, as the plight of the people washing up on the shores of southern Europe or trying to get into the United States has showed. As for the slums, providing basic services like water, power, and education to their inhabitants was, the UN said, one of the biggest challenges facing humanity in the 21st century. This from the BBC.
The U.S. government on Monday announced a major debt-for-nature swap that will provide more than $24 million for conservation efforts in Guatemala. The fund will help conserve Guatemala's high-altitude cloud forest, rainforest, and coastal mangrove swamps, home to hundreds of species of migratory birds, as well as many rare and endangered species, including jaguars, howler monkeys, and scarlet macaws. The agreement with Guatemala represents the largest amount of debt forgiven by the United States under the Tropical Forest Conservation Act. The 1998 law allows debt owed to the U.S. to be invested in conservation efforts. Guatemala is the 10th country to forge an agreement under the program, which will generate more than $125 million over the next 10 to 25 years to protect tropical forests. The U.S. government has committed $15 million for the agreement, which also includes $1 million contributions from Conservation International and the Nature Conservancy. The deal will help protect Sierra de la Manis National Park, recognized as one of the most biologically diverse mountain ranges in Central America by naming it a biosphere reserve in 1993. This from the Environmental News Service.
The United Nations has sent an international team of experts to Lebanon to assess the environmental damage caused by the recent invasion by Israel. The team will work with the Lebanese authorities to examine several sites around the war-torn nation, including the massive oil spill that has contaminated some 80 miles of Lebanon's coast. The Lebanese government requested the assistance from UNEP, which has carried out similar work in Afghanistan, the Balkans, Iraq, and Liberia. Some 10,000 to 30,000 metric tons of heavy fuel was released into the Mediterranean Sea when Israeli warplanes bombed a power plant. The spill has fouled nearly two-thirds of Lebanon's coast, as well as some beaches in Syria, and is widely considered the worst environmental catastrophe in the nation's history. Lebanese authorities say that the damage is severe and will take several months to clean up, and it could take a decade for the environment to fully recover. The economic impacts could be devastating for Lebanon, which had a vibrant beach-based tourism industry prior to the conflict. In addition to the impacts on human health and tourism, the spill is having adverse effects on an important marine area that includes critical nesting areas for endangered green turtles. This from the Environmental News Service.
As of yesterday, at least 2,730 members of the U.S. military have died since the beginning of the U.S. war for oil in Iraq. The figure includes seven military civilians. At least 2,163 died as a result of hostile action, according to the military's numbers. And according to the latest figures from the Iraq Body Count website, civilian casualty numbers now stand at around 48,000. Information Clearinghouse, however, puts the number closer to 250,000.
Paraguay's decision to refuse diplomatic immunity for U.S. troops and not to renew a military cooperation pact sparked debate yesterday, with an analyst calling the developments a blow to U.S. attempts to improve regional ties. Foreign Minister Ruben Ramirez said that Paraguay and Washington would not renew a defense cooperation agreement for 2007 over the South American country's refusal to grant U.S. troops inside Paraguay immunity from the prosecution by the International Criminal Court. The Bush administration has stood tough against the ICC since its creation in 2002 out of concern that Americans overseas, including military personnel, diplomats, and ordinary citizens, could be subject to politically motivated prosecutions. Last May, Paraguay approved the entry of some 400 U.S. troops for joint military exercises, such as programs on fighting urban terrorists, public security, and humanitarian assistance. Ramirez said the government determined that under international treaty law, exceptions to the immunity can only be made in cases of foreign diplomats and administrative personnel. He said U.S. military exercises scheduled through December 1st would continue, and Washington had no immediate response to Paraguay's announcement.
Latin American defense ministers debated forming a regional peacekeeping force yesterday, while the top U.S. defense official urged nations at a hemispheric conference to work together to combat drug trafficking and terrorism. Guatemalan Defense Minister General Francisco Bermudez said the ministers discussed forming a regional force for international peacekeeping missions and disaster relief. Venezuelan President Hugo Chavez has proposed members of the Mercosur trade bloc, Brazil, Argentina, Uruguay, and Paraguay, linked their militaries to guarantee the region's security. Chavez has been lobbying for allies to counterbalance what he says is U.S. domination in the region. Bermuda said the force would be to help the United Nations in peacekeeping, and in no moment have we talked about creating another force for other means. The debate came during a gathering of defense ministers from more than 30 Latin American and Caribbean nations at the 7th Western Hemisphere Defense Ministers Conference, which ends today.
Russia's move to suspend transport and postal links and block bank transfers yesterday followed the arrest of four of its officers in Georgia last week. The four men were released and returned to Moscow yesterday to be greeted by Defense Minister Sergei Ivanov. Moscow denies the spying charge, and Georgia accuses Russia of bullying. The Russian President Vladimir Putin has described Georgia's actions as state terrorism. And the U.S., meanwhile, urged both Russia and Georgia to ease tensions. But Georgia's president said the transfer was not a response to Russian pressure. The impact of the new measures is likely to be severe, as thousands of Georgian guest workers will effectively be stranded in Russia, unable to send home the earnings so many of their families depend on. It is unclear if the sanctions decision was taken before the handover of the officers was announced. Russia had been using intimidation and blackmail, and he repeated his allegations that a Russian spy ring had been operating in Georgia. This from the BBC. And now we're going to head back over to Pledge Central. We're joined by Lisa again.
It's not Lisa again.
No.
Sorry, Brian. It's Kathleen here, Morning News and Public Affairs Director, sitting in for Lisa, who's the Evening News and Public Affairs Director, but we expect her shortly. But right now, we're hoping to get a few more calls before the end of the morning news. We have how many minutes left right now? We have about 8 minutes or 7 or 8 minutes to get your calls of support in for the morning news. The call that you can make would go to 503-232-8818, or if you're outside the Portland calling area, you can dial 1-877-500-5266. And you can also go online, www.kboo.fm. Whatever your method, please do it right now. Please contact us. Please give us your best amount of money that you can donate to us right now. You get a phone answer on the line. They quickly ask you what you can spare for KBOO right now for this particular autumn pledge drive and for the news that you may listen to every morning or when you can fit it in. Whatever your listening habits, we need to get your support as soon as possible. This is the first day of our membership drive. We've had a good morning so far with the folk show. We'd like to continue it with this program. We're trying to raise $240, and I believe we have one $60 pledge so far. So another call right now to 503-232-8818 or 1-877-500-5266 would be wonderful to hear. We really, really appreciate the work that the morning news crew does. They come in very early. They do some work at home. Chris Andre scans the internet for stories that she finds that she feels are really important and things that I wouldn't hear often if I wasn't listening to the AM news. And the other volunteers, such as Brian and Martha this morning, also the engineer Boone, are very, very dedicated to this broadcast. And this broadcast goes very fast every day, and each day there is quite a bit of work that goes into it. We'd like to get some support for that work right now, and you can be the second person to support it this morning by calling 503-232-8818 or 1-877-500-5266. Another $60 pledge would support KBOO for the year. You can have that taken out of your checking account if you'd like. That would be $5 a month. You can just ask for the EFT form. Thank you for that call, and we'd like to entreat another one of you. Maybe you have enough to spare for a $120 pledge for a year. That's $10 a month. Again, you can pledge that directly. You can have it taken out of your bank account, or you can use your credit card. Whatever the method, we really, really need your support on this first day. You can help us brighten it up, 503-232-8818. 877-500-5266. Coming up, we're going to have a talk show. We have a great program planned with Jeff Cohen as a guest, talking about the media, his experience in cable land. But right now, take advantage of this particular moment to make that call of support. Lisa's here with me now. Hi, Lisa.
Good morning. Boy, it's early in the morning. I know there's people all over the zone that are still in their Jimmy Jams. They're purple Jimmy Jams with little white poodles on them. And they're drinking coffee, which is what I'm usually doing at this time of the morning. I wanted to be here with everybody. And the number to call, the number 503-232-8818. You can tell I have not had enough coffee yet. Or if you're in the beautiful Columbia Gorge or the wonderful Willamette Valley, it's on our dime, quarter, I think it's a quarter now, 1-877-500-KABU. And you know, there's so many things that KABU does for you, especially early in the morning. If you're tired of listening to other stations that have their traffic reports brought to you by McDonald's, you know that's never going to happen on these airwaves, but in exchange, we need your support. And I like to encourage people to donate 1 hour's wage per month to KABU. So even if you've got a job where you're getting minimum wage, which was just raised in January to $7.50 an hour, even if you have a job in a little coffee shop, you can afford to give 1 hour's wage. If you're paid $25 an hour, I'm saying it's totally reasonable for you to give 1 hour's wage per month. 503-232-8818. This is just a way to invest your money. My friend Robin Shanti says money is energy. That's what it is. And you put your energy where it helps everyone. 503-232-8818 or 1-877-500-KABU. Kathleen?
We thank those coffee house workers out there that have supported KABU. I know there are many of
them. Out there.
And we thank the bakery workers that support KABU.
House cleaners.
They're people who give their hard-earned money to support KABU, and we very much appreciate that. We just want a couple more of you now to go to your phones before the end of this newscast and make that call of support. You can be a part of this enterprise. 503-232-8818, 1-877-500-5266. Before you leave for work today, make that call on this very first day of membership drive, and let us know that you support the work that's being done right here by volunteer efforts. 503-232-8818, 1-877-500-5266.
There is a line or two open. You know, I have to say, I'm a common sewer of news, and I do the evening news here at KABU. Morning news. KABU morning news is heavy, man. I mean, these folks get here at like 4:30 in the morning. They survey publications all over the world to bring you stories not from the AP Wire. They don't pull it out of the Will Slamet Week or whatever. They look at The Guardian. They look at newspapers. They look at Libération, you know, in Paris. They look at newspapers all over the world and bring that to you, not just to give you information, but to give you a sense of where else information comes from. And if you're listening right now, I know that you realize how frickin' rare that is. You really need to support this. These people, you know, they get up so early in the morning to make this happen. And this is not squishy news. This is not tinkle, tinkle, tinkle news that you get from other, like, radio stations or even the progressive commercial radio station in Portland, which makes you sit through ads for diamond tennis bracelets. Am I right? So all we're asking for you, twice a year, we come to you directly, you, and invite you to participate in our radio community by calling 503-232-8818 or toll free in the areas outside of Portland, 1-877-500-KABU. And when you call with your contribution, we're just putting it out there, $5, $10 a month. You actually get to help elect our board of directors. We just had an election where people helped change our bylaws. I'm not exaggerating when I say that you do not have the opportunity to help run the station when you contribute to other stations. And we're going to go back to the news, because who wants to miss it? But the number to call, 503-232-8818. You can dial that, even though we're not asking you to in that beautiful moment. 1-877-500-KABU.
Pope Benedict will cast aside centuries of Catholic belief later this week by formally abolishing the concept of limbo. The gesture is calculated to help win the souls of millions of babies in the developing world. All the evidence suggests that Pope Benedict never believed in the idea anyway, but in the fertile evangelism zones of Africa and Asia, the Pope, an acknowledged authority on all things Islamic, is only too aware that Muslims believe the souls of stillborn babies go straight to heaven. For the church, looking to...
has been the KBOO Morning News for Wednesday, October 4th, 2006. Thanks for listening. Today's editor is Brian Smith, with help from Chris Andre, and our engineer is Boone Revis. Kathleen Stevenson is the KBOO AM News and Public Affairs Director. I'm Brian Smith.
And I'm Martha Odom.
We clear the air at 90.7 FM in Portland, 91.9 in Columbia River Gorge on translator K2466 AA. And 100.7 in the Willamette Valley on translator K220HR. If you would like to volunteer in the AM newsroom, call Kathleen Stevenson at 503-231-8032, extension 202, or email at amnews@kboo.org. Portland area weather calls for partly cloudy skies today with highs in the upper 60s.